My dear brothers and sisters, in last week's homily, I answered the question, why does the church have a role in politics? And as the bishops reminded us, a properly formed conscience is formed according to God's revelation, and the teaching of the church is the means by which one listens to God and discerns how to act in accordance with the truth. A properly formed conscience, as we said last week, does not come from my revelation or your revelation. It does not come from my intellect or your intellect. It doesn't come from my feelings or your feelings. Today, I want to go into depth on the teaching of the church in regard to different issues. And I will do this by going again through the bigger document of the bishops that we looked at the introduction from last week, Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship. And again, I invite you to please read the document and read the introductory document also. Again, I will get something out of the way right out of the gate. I'm not telling you how to vote or whom to vote for. However, it is for the church and I to help you have a well-formed conscience. As Catholics, we have a serious and lifelong obligation to form our conscience. In the Christian life, there is no arrival point. We're always growing. So we have the obligation to form our conscience in accord with human reason and the teaching of the church. In the bigger document, the bishops start their teaching by saying and reminding us, we are a nation founded on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But the right to life itself is not fully protected, especially for unborn children, the terminally ill, and the elderly, the most vulnerable members of the American family. Unfortunately, politics has become an ugly business, filled with powerful interest groups, driven by power or personal advancement and ideologies. And driven by news. We, my dear brothers and sisters, are meant and called to confront society with different lenses, with biblical worldview lenses. With these lenses, we are called to invite our country to return to its roots, and those roots start with life. As we approach this election cycle to choose our leaders, the bishops of the United States speak about two temptations in public life, and we have to be careful to not fall into either. The first temptation is a moral equivalence that makes no ethical distinctions between different kinds of issues involving human life and dignity. In other words, every issue is the same. And that is not the case. Every issue is not the same. The direct and intentional destruction of human life from the moment of conception until natural death is always wrong. And it is not just an issue among many other issues. I hear from a lot of people, because being pastor, I hear from a lot of people, and when I do homilies like this, I hear from even more people. But what about this candidate or that candidate's view on the poor or the migrants? Aren't those important? Yes, they are important. But brothers and sisters, those issues are not morally equivalent. That is, immigration and abortion are not of equal moral equivalence. The bishops in the document are abundantly clear. We must protect life from conception to natural death. The bishops continue and speaking about the second temptation. So the first one is moral equivalence. Everything is the same. The second is the misuse of those necessary moral distinctions as a way of dismissing or ignoring other serious threats to human life and dignity. Now, this is important because there is then the other extreme, which is, well, abortion is the only issue. As Catholics, we cannot avoid or discount the other issues of human dignity either. Racism and other unjust discrimination, the use of the death penalty, resorting to unjust war, the use of torture, war crimes, the failure to respond to those who are suffering from hunger or a lack of health care, pornography, redefining civil marriage, compromising religious liberties, or an unjust immigration policy are all serious moral issues that challenge our consciences and require us to act. As Catholics, we need to avoid the errors of moral equivalence and misusing of the moral distinctions. So how do we do this? The exercise of conscience begins with the outright opposition to laws and other policies that violate human life or weaken its protection. I cannot be clearer in that. The intentional taking of an innocent human life is never, and for any reason, ever acceptable. We do have a moral imperative to respond to the needs of our neighbors who seek food, shelter, healthcare, education, and meaningful work. These issues are important, and we cannot close our eyes to the plight of immigrants and the needs of the poor. Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew, reminds us that we will be judged. I say it again, we will be judged on how we treated the poor, imprisoned, and the sick. Jesus will ask us, when you saw them, did you see me? This leads me to another point that I often hear. Father, there's no one good to vote for. I want to bring you a little clarity to that statement. Brothers and sisters, that should make us ask ourselves a question. Which, it should make us ask ourselves, why is there no one good to vote for? I'll tell you. There is no one good to vote for because we have not held those in office and we have not held our political parties accountable to supporting Christian moral values. Rather, we wag our heads at the TVs and we scoff at what is happening in the world. I want to ask you, have we been willing to be agents of change among society? Have we worked to change the political parties that we follow? So how can this be accomplished? Because the question becomes, how is little old me sitting in Fort Collins going to change a party? Well, I want to take us back to a long time ago. I want us to take us back to the Roman Empire. And I want us to ask ourselves a question. How did Christianity change the Roman Empire? How did they make the Roman Empire a Christian society? By the way they lived. They lived differently than the world around them. They were different. In Roman society, if a child was born with a defect, that child could be abandoned outside of the city. Here's what the Christians would do. The Christians, at night, under pain of death, and risking their lives, would go out and rescue those babies. We must live differently than the world. The world must see in us Christ. They must see us protecting the least of these in all we do, whether voting or speaking with each other. We cannot relegate Christ to Sunday, or in your case, Saturday evening. We must have a deep relationship with God. The early Christians were willing to die for their faith. They were willing and understood being different. You and I are called to change society's morals. And we cannot do that if we aren't willing to put ourselves out there and risk being ridiculed or worse. In many cases, we have remained silent. We have not demanded that all life be held sacred. We have fallen into the traps of, hey, maybe in some cases abortion is okay. Or, hey, we have to be loving and accepting of everything someone does. We have remained silent for the sake of not hurting people's feelings or not wanting to risk ridicule. And in remaining silent, we have given permission for this to happen. Please stop acting like we woke up one day and the world went to heck in a handbasket and we don't know what happened. The world did not change overnight. We have surrendered ground. And now, my dear brothers and sisters, that ground must be reclaimed for Christ. Like those early Christians in Rome, how do we declare the world for the Lord? How do we bring back a biblical worldview to society? We start being heard. We demand from our leaders that life and the dignity of the human person is the foundation for society, that direct attacks on that life are for no reason acceptable. Without the protection of human life, there can be no protection of human dignity. The two are intertwined. We demand from our leaders that the family be protected and that marriage is between a man and a woman. The family is the fundamental unit of society and is a sanctuary for creation and nurturing of children. We demand from our leaders health care and people's right to health care. We demand from our leaders care for the migrants. The gospel to welcome the stranger requires us as Catholics to care for and stand with them. The newcomer, both authorized and unauthorized, including unaccompanied immigrant children, refugees and asylum seekers, those unnecessarily detained, and the victims of human trafficking. Comprehensive immigration reform is necessary. We demand from our leaders good education in our school systems. And I say education, not indoctrination. We demand from our leaders justice and care for our common home. Still, we must understand that the preeminent threats to human dignity are abortion and euthanasia. Abortion, the deliberate killing of a human being before birth, is never morally acceptable and is to be opposed at all times. Cloning and the destruction of embryos for research or even potential cures is always morally wrong. Every other human dignity flows from that first and primordial right to life. We reestablish a biblical worldview by voting for the right laws and opposing the wrong laws. We vote against legislation, and this is here in Colorado, like Amendment 79, that wants to give a constitutional right to unrestricted abortion and allows for taxpayer-funded abortion by repealing the constitutional ban on public funding. We reestablish a biblical worldview through our voices to our congressmen and women. We stand up to our local school boards, insisting that our schools are places of education and not places of agendas. We do it through being part of the political system and bringing change to it. Don't sit on the sideline. We do it by raising our children with Christian values, so that when it's their turn to lead, they will make better decisions than we did. In this way, we make sure that future leaders have those Christian moral values. God did not say to his disciples to go out to all the world and share their opinions. God told his disciples to go out into all the world and proclaim the good news and proclaim the truth. Let us be agents of the gospel. Christ in his body and blood feeds us with the strength and fortitude that is necessary to bring real change to this world.